The hour has arrived. The ultimate countdown in John has reached its final countdown. It's not an annual occurrence like New Year's Eve, but a once in eternity, never to be repeated event. The time has come for Jesus to retreat from the public eye one last time before his arrest and ultimate crucifixion. The events of today's story set into motion the story that many of us know so well, the story which we will remember during the tree room next week. We will gather to remember Jesus washing the disciples' feet, sharing their last meal, his arrest, torture, and death, and his great victory over death and the grave at Easter. But how did Jesus know that the hour had arrived, that his time had come? Throughout the Gospel of John, we see Jesus acknowledging that the hour has not yet come 7 times prior to today's text. He first acknowledges that his hour has not yet come at the wedding of Cana, the very first public miracle in the Gospel of John. He acknowledges that the time is coming when he's speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well, after he heals a man on the Sabbath, after his disciples urge him to do more works in public rather than in secret, and after telling those who were without sin to cast the first stone at a woman accused of adultery. Now is the time. The hour is here. But again, how did Jesus know that the final countdown had begun? Some scholars say that it may have been the arrival of the Greeks who wished to see Jesus. The Greeks, which could also be replaced with the word foreigners, first went to Philip, most likely because of their shared language of Greek. Philip was a Greek name, and he had grown up in a town that had a mixture of both Jews and Greeks. These foreigners, who came most likely to celebrate the festival of Passover in Jerusalem, represent the ever-expanding reach of Jesus. In today's term, the arrival of the Greeks could have been a way of seeing that Jesus has gone viral. His presence was becoming known and sought after in the larger world. Just prior to this story in John, we hear the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We hear plots to kill not only Jesus for his ever-increasing popularity, but also Lazarus, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 11. It's unclear how many Greeks there were or why they were interested in seeing Jesus. Were they curious about his message? Were they chasing spectacle, hoping to see Jesus walk on water or heal a blind man? Perhaps they were troublemakers or skeptics trying to pick a fight. All we know is that they wished to see Jesus. In the Gospel of John, seeing is believing. When Jesus calls his disciples, he tells them to come and see. In the other Gospels, he says, follow me. It's in the Gospel of John that we hear the story of Thomas doubting that Jesus has risen from the dead because he has not seen him himself with his own eyes. When approached by Philip and Andrew, Jesus declares that the hour has come. The time is now. Jesus then speaks about his death. He speaks of death being a necessary part for new life. The grain of wheat must fall to the earth and die for it to bear fruit. Jesus knows that he must continue this path, but we get to see just a glimpse of vulnerability in Jesus. He says, my soul is troubled. We can hear whispers of his prayers in the garden before his arrest, asking God to take this cup from him. He speaks of drawing all people to him when he is lifted up. We heard similar imagery when Jesus cleansed the temple and speaks of raising the temple in 3 days after it's destroyed in the first Sunday in Lent. We also heard it last week, which compares Jesus to the serpent that was lifted up in the desert in order to save Israelites from death. When speaking of being lifted up, He is speaking not only of his death on the cross, but also his ascension into heaven. The Greek verb that is used can also mean exalted. A good image for the use of this verb is if a pitcher of a baseball game pitches a perfect no-hitter, and the entire team run and lift him up in the air at the end of the game. It's the same idea of being lifted up and glorified and exalted. And notice that Jesus says he will draw all people, not Jews or just Gentiles, not just his followers or his enemies, all people. We can often forget how shocking Jesus' death was for those who followed him. He was the Messiah. He was meant to live forever, to rule over all. He wasn't meant to die. Debbie Thomas writes, "For those of us who've grown up in the church, the actual scandal and strangeness of Jesus' death was perhaps long faded away. We're used to worshiping in front of a crucifix. We genuflect without thinking, or wear tiny crosses around our necks. But what would happen, I wonder, if we could shake ourselves out of our familiarity for a few minutes and see with new eyes what happened on Good Friday? God died. Jesus willingly took the violence, the contempt, and the hatred of the world and absorbed them into his own body. He chose to be the victim, the scapegoat, the sacrifice. He refused to waver in his message of universal love, grace, and liberation, knowing full well that the message would cost him his life. He declared solidarity for all time with those who are abandoned, colonized, oppressed, accused, imprisoned, beaten, mocked, and murdered. He burst open like a seed so that new life would grow and replenish the earth. He took an instrument of torture and turned it into a vehicle of hospitality and communion for all people, everywhere. And what about those Greeks that were seeking to see Jesus? There's no confirmation in the text that they actually were able to see Jesus. In fact, if you read just a little further in John, which isn't included in today's text, you'll see in verse 36 that Jesus departed from them and hid. This narrative is the last public dialogue in John. All of the other teaching that happens before his arrest happens only to the small group of disciples, not to the general public. The Greeks ask to see Jesus, and Jesus responds with talking about his death. In a way, it can be interpreted as Jesus saying, "Come and see," the same words that he spoke to each of the disciples at the beginning of his ministry. In talking of his death and the Son of Man being lifted up, it's as if Jesus is saying, "Come and see me on the cross. Come and see me endure torture and death. Come and see me raised from the dead. Come and see me ascend into heaven. Come and see me do all of these things for you, for all." As we spend our last few days in Lent, may we prepare our hearts and our minds to come and see Jesus in new ways. Amen.